irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right. Thank you very much for listening to us again. As always, we appreciate you spending your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening with us, no matter where you are. We really do appreciate it, and thank you so much. Jamal, Zaylor, say hello to everybody.
Hey, happy Sunday, everybody.
Happy Sunday. Happy to have you here.
Okay, great. Yeah, what we're going to be talking about today are some scams, you know, because, you know, annually we talk about these scams. So we're talking about the pandemic scams, personal scams, business scams. And these are also scams that the IRS is putting out to let us know also about some concerns out there. And then in addition to that, we're going to be talking about this mandated vaccines again and forcing employers to enforce these things. President Biden has come out and said that federal employees and anybody that does business with them, which is the federal contractors, that they're going to have to do it. So we're going to talk about that. And I know we've touched on that in the past, but now it's a mandated situation. So we want to talk about that a little bit more today. And then we're going to wrap it up with talking about the recall of Governor Newsom, just to go through some things, because that time is coming very, very short. And, so we want to put some things out there, put some things in people's minds about it one way or another as well. At any rate, Jamal, before we get started, as usual, you know, we're always looking forward to see if you have any shout outs or blasts or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I want to put I got a kind of interesting blast this week, and I want to be specific. I want to put the right-wing lunatics, not all right-wing people, not all, I want to specify, not all, but the right-wing lunatics who are spreading this thought that people, if the government gets shut down, that these people should not comply. Now, here's the problem I have with this. Is who's going to enforce these laws if the government does a shutdown? It will be the police. Am I correct? As what happened before.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. So I'm not sure I'm following you on this. If who shuts it down? You
if
mean
the
like
government
Biden?
Shuts down, like Biden shuts down businesses and go through another closure process and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have right-wing people on the news media telling people to not comply and to stand your ground. Well, this is a problem, because if the police have to be the one enforcing these things, then once again, you're calling towards not complying with lawful authorities, and that could present a problem. Now, these are the extreme Blue Lives Matter, pro-police, and now you're trying to tell people not to comply with the police. I think that is very hypocritical of them to do such a thing.
Okay, well,
dangerous.
Let's just be clear. There's also people on the left, Jamal, that are talking about these mandatory shutdowns also. It's not just people on the right.
I just said right-wing lunatics. That's why I said I wanted to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's one or two people on the left, but in this case, the right-wing agent, the right-wing lunatics, specifically them.
Not just people on the right.
Not the whole right-wing party.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay, everybody has their share of lunatics, so I think we're all in agreement on that from that standpoint.
Right.
I get it. Okay, so, with these things, Jamal, that's going to be controversial for everybody anyway, so we'll just wait and see how all that unfolds with this business about shutdowns.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, and Zayla can tell you the 10th Amendment powers, Jamal. There's 10th Amendment powers out there as well. Where the government, where the states, the individual states, because of the 10th Amendment, may be able to make their own choices in this.
Okay.
That whether or not the federal government could just say, okay, in your state, you're going to shut it down. Any state can turn around and make a decision based upon the health and safety of their particular constituents.
Absolutely.
Okay, and their citizenship. So, I don't know. It's going to be a controversy no matter how you look at it. I don't care if you're talking left, right, whatever. It's going to be a controversy. Zella, you want to weigh in on that at all?
Not on that one. I have a shot for one.
Okay, all right. So let's just find out in terms of, Jamal, do you have any other shout outs or blasts that you're putting on? Or
no, by the way, I think some of these business owners, some of these restaurants are being ridiculous too, because some of them said they're only going to allow unvaccinated people in their restaurants. I don't understand why everything has to be one extreme or the other, man. There's common ground in the middle. But
you know, the restaurants are trying to fight back, Jamal, so that they're saying this or doing that because they're being absolutely ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Because they're the ones that have been hurt the most. So they have no other way to fight back, in my opinion. That's one of the issues, even with Newsom, with this. But we'll get to him later.
All right.
Okay, so Jamal, do you so you don't have any blast or anything else? Azalea, you said you had a shout out or a blast or whatever.
Yep, a shout out to the senators in Congress that have come up with this bipartisan infrastructure plan. I know that they've been talking about infrastructure for administrations after administrations, regardless of whether they're Democratic or Republican. This is actually it's been 14 years since the 35W bridge fell here in Minnesota. I moved here a few weeks after to start law school, and so it's an important day for us here, but 14 years later and we're barely getting to an infrastructure bill. And our bridge is not the only one that's been having troubles and challenges, and so it's good to see that there's ways where our elected officials are getting together and passing stuff that needs to happen. We as a nation need to have broadband available to everybody. We need to have our bridges and roads maintained. And so sometimes it's federal help that's needed in regards to that. And I'm supportive of all of that effort.
Well, I'm in favor of an infrastructure bill. Here's the problem for right now that you didn't mention. That bill hasn't even been written yet, totally, as I understand it. There's some issues that are still lingering about what's included in the infrastructure bill, and that's been part of what the issue has been. So you can have an infrastructure bill that says, okay, let's build roads, let's build bridges. I'm all for it. As a matter of fact, even our airports, I'm all for it. But what happens is that, you know, one part or the other adds in other things along with the bill. You know, we're going to give $10,000 to do research, you know, on mating dogs and cats or something. I'm just being facetious with that. But there's other things that get included in the bill itself that the one side or the other does not want to do. Okay, so it ends up being this umbrella bill, and they're calling it an infrastructure bill. But you got to look at what else is included in the bill. Now, my understanding is that the bill really even hasn't been written totally yet. So they're talking about some of the things that may go into the bill, but the bill itself has not been written. But just to be clear,
was Zeller talking about for the state of Minnesota or the federal?
No, he's talking about.
I thought Zeller was talking about the state.
I don't believe so. He said he mentioned.
I guess I can be the only one that's happy that there's actually politicians working together to try to find a resolution. That's all I was bringing up.
But
I know that the bill's not done yet.
But is that federal?
I see it as being in the right direction, even if there's a tentative agreement.
I'm not debating that issue. I think that they do have to get together on that. I mean, this has been pending for months.
Right.
Okay. I was only talking about why there's also been a delay. Okay. If these guys are trying to get together to do it, that's fine. And I'll also, you know, just for you to recall, months ago, the Republicans met with Biden on this infrastructure situation and made some suggestions, and those suggestions were cast to the side. So there's a lot of different reasons why this is not gone. But now, if they're working together, I'm good with it. I don't have a problem with it. I was only talking about what has been a part of the delay about things to get included in what they call an infrastructure bill, but there's other things that they included in there that don't make people very happy. That's all. Jamal, to answer your question, it's federal.
Okay, got it.
I'm sorry, Z, go ahead.
Never mind, let's move on.
Okay. We got an email, and this is in reference to, so actually before we even went on the air, so my wife and I were lucky enough to move out of California in October 2019, just before the pandemic. My question is, did Governor Newsom do anything wrong, or is he just being recalled because of the mask mandate and restrictions he put in place to save people's lives? We'll address that when we get to it on Newsom, all right, because I'm sure we'll have some different opinions about that, all right? So, yes, we will come to that. Before I forget, hey, everybody, the book is out. Here's a copy of it right here. Please, because I'm doing a shout-out here for the book itself. It's on Amazon, doing very well. Just remind people, please go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble because it is out. and thank you very much for those who have already made purchases. It is on Kindle as well, and it's been ranked very well.
By the way, do you have any opinions on what happened? Did Joe Biden launch an airstrike in Somalia?
When was that?
I heard. Anybody heard about that? I thought it was within a couple of days.
I didn't personally hear that.
Okay. I thought I heard something. Okay.
Well, you know, if he did an airstrike on Somalia, I'm sure it's for all the right reasons. Joe Biden is not a person that believes in a lot of, you know, war and things of that nature. So to me, if he did do that, he must have had a good reason for doing it. So I would support whatever the decision was.
Right. I was just.
Yeah. I don't know. Zayla, did you hear anything about that?
Nope.
No, I haven't heard anything about it either. At any rate, okay, let's get to these emails. And I'm only doing two emails because the second email is kind of lengthy, you know, from that standpoint. So I'm only going to do two of these today. Let me just double check something here on the other side to see if we have anybody that's on. No, okay. All right, Jim, I have a question for all those Biden supporters. Why is it we shut down the Canadian border for even those who can prove they have been vaccinated, and yet we are letting in thousands of illegals on our southern border and dispersing them into our population? What sense does this make? Nancy from Syracuse, New York. Look, Nancy, he shut down the Canadian border from what I understand. I don't, you know, disagree that it seems a little bit, you know, contradictory. They all get together and make these policy decisions. To hear them tell it, you know, the people coming across the border, even though they're telling them don't come, they're still coming. I don't know. You can't stop the flood as far as I'm concerned, you know, the way that things are right now. But, you know, I've heard on the news as well about the fact that some of these people are tested positive and they're being put out into the environment. So you say why? I can't speak for why it happens one way or another. I don't know. Zayla, you want to comment on that at all?
No, I'll let
Ron go. No, that's what's frustrating, man. I don't understand why people, we got to use common sense. And you just stated a very good point. There are millions of people coming across a southern border that is attached to our landmass. It is impossible to stop a million people coming across almost simultaneously. We don't have enough manpower. So it's not that Canada works with us a little bit better. They don't have as much of a problem with people coming over from Canada to the U.S. However, all along the stretch of the U.S.-Mexican border, there's a lot of holes, there's a lot of tunnels, there's a whole lot more going on. It's way more complicated. So they're not being hypocritical. Once again, they have stated, you have heard them say, don't come.
There's a difference between saying don't come and not putting the measures in place that what happens once they get here. That's part of the problem I think that people are upset about. The minute they step onto the soil, arms are out for them, and what are they doing? They're transporting them all throughout the country. And when you say that they say don't come, we've actually talked about this. I don't want to beat this into the ground again, but just saying don't come is not enough because when Trump was in office, they had a total of, 300,000 people or something like that? We've got hundreds of thousands doing this right now because they know that the administration is a lot more favored toward these individuals than the last administration was. At any rate, Zayla, you got anything to say about it?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Okay, today you're not speaking up on opinions, or what's the deal, Zayla?
I want to make sure we get to the important stuff.
Whatever. Next, Jim, I saw in the news this week that Seattle, and I believe Chicago, two cities that reduced the budget for their police departments, now need more police officers. In fact, Minneapolis, based on a judge's ruling, stated that they must hire more police officers to battle their crime wave. The council has approved $6.4 million to recruit more police officers. This was after they had cut the budget by $8 million. What did these cities think would happen? Good luck trying to get police officers to come back to those cities. It's laughable. Joe from Omaha, Nebraska. Now, I do know that the mayor there now wants to, they're calling it, because I went online and looked this up. There's an article by Newsweek that the mayor now wants to, what they're calling, refund the police. And the reality is that they have now realized a year later that the crime situation is getting out of control on a national basis. So, you know, whatever the reason, it doesn't matter. But the problem I see that they're going to have is, how are you going to, you know, these police officers, they left for a reason. I don't know that they're going to want to go back there, you know, after this time, because they didn't feel, and I understand what happened with George Floyd, I get all of that. But some people may say, why do I want to go back to that city, you know, and have everything that I'm doing be scrutinized? But Zella, you're from Minneapolis. Do you want to weigh in on this one?
Oh, of course, because I know what the story is on the ground here, as opposed to what's
sometimes, what's the story
in the national media. You know, we've already gone over this before, but I can rehash it for those that actually that didn't necessarily hear the show where we focused on this. But with the George Floyd murder and the rioting that happened, there were a lot of police officers that were injured, post-traumatic stress, workers' comp claims. There were officers that chose to retire and things of that nature. And so that's the reason why we have a shortage of police officers here, not because of any alleged defunding the police efforts. Our city council is up for re-election. Our mayor is up for re-election this November. The citizens of Minneapolis will be voting on how that they want to, if they want to, reimagine how policing is done here. If they want to have a civilian, a group of civilian individuals that are also involved in regards to police misconduct cases. So there's a lot on the table in regards to this. And it makes it seem pretty easy for folks that aren't from here to look and say, the city council defunded the police, and that's why we don't have enough police, and that's why crime is up. Crime is up all across the country. We're not the only city that had a police officer that was involved in a national murder that was all over the news and everything. So I just want to make sure I get facts on the ground as it relates to that. That there's this presumption that, you know, just because we may have city council members here that were in defund the police when they were focusing on and really talking about reimagining what policing looks like, but we haven't defunded the police. And so a judge coming out and saying that we need to get the right number of police officers on the force here, and that's in correspondence with what our charter says. Our charter has the requirement that we have a certain number of police officers. And I agree with you, it's going to be a challenge to get police officers to perhaps want to, be police officers here in Minneapolis. But we want folks that actually want to be here. And if this means that this is a way for us to be able to recruit police officers that actually live in Minneapolis, that might be a net benefit for us as a city. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I like the person said, good luck. And that's what I say, good luck, because the really good ones, and you mentioned about them retiring. Some of them probably retired early because of the negative part about being a police officer, not just there, and so many other cities across the nation. And you're right. The crimes has increased across the nation. They've been talking about that. And I'm not going to get into which cities that they are, but we'll focus that on Minneapolis. Let's look at Seattle, because Seattle just came out with the same thing. And they're another one that turned around and quote-unquote defunded the police. Now the crimes are surging, and now they're up there crying the blues that we need more police officers. Okay, well, why did you drive them out in the first place? But, you know, again, the way that they
why did you drive them out?
Are you going to let me... Zella, let's have an understanding. I listen very patiently to you speak. Let me speak, and then you can make any comment that you want after that. So getting back to the Seattle situation, okay, police officers didn't feel that they were being well-respected because of something that they didn't even personally do. So a lot of these people retired or left the city and went to other cities where those cities, welcomed them in, quite frankly. Chicago, same thing. Now Chicago mayor is talking about they need it. The D.C. Chief of police, the same thing. Because these crimes, what did people think was going to happen when the police forces, okay, are being disrespected, when they're being put out of business, so to speak? What did you think that the criminals were going to say? You know, and this is an example of it. We got one person that wrote in and said something like, Joe, Jim is right. Joe was the lone dissenter at Obama meeting to decide on killing Osama bin Laden. Very conservative and using force. He is. So it would be interesting to see if he bombed Somalia. He must have had some really good, which is what this person is saying, I guess, in agreement on that. So at any rate, Jamal, what's your thoughts? We've heard Zeller. What are your thoughts on that?
I think what people are saying when they say they want more cops, they saying they want more good cops. So to the cops that decided, you know, they wanted to quit or whatever, good riddance. You know, I think it's time to get rid of the old regime and the new wave and new thinking police officers. And I think that's what the people are asking for. It's not that they don't want cops. They want good cops. I saw a video the other day. I'm just going to say what the video saw. You can elaborate on it if not. But once again, there was a situation where they had somebody down on the ground in handcuffs, and one of the cops came over and kicked the person in the face. Now, that one cop is dirty. But here's the problem that I had with that scenario, with that situation. Why didn't the other three cops that were standing around step in and say something or immediately put him in cuffs for kicking somebody in the face that's on the ground like that? I'm saying as a citizen, that's who we're trying to get rid of. The ones who does stuff like that, and it's not all police officers, but we want to get rid of the ones that kick somebody in the face like that and the ones that stood around and watched. And I think that's what people are asking for. Good cops who will speak up.
You know, I didn't necessarily see that particular situation, Jamal. And as I've said repeatedly on this show, I personally would never, ever subscribe to something like that.
Right.
If I was somebody that was there and I had seen this particular thing happen, Jamal, there's no way I would personally stand by, okay? What leads people to stand by and look, Jamal, I have no idea.
Right. I know what leads. I mean, it's that whole code of silence. You don't want to turn in one of your own because it could be frowned upon. It can be frowned upon.
Jamal, okay. So they don't want to turn in one of their own. Okay, we'll leave that like that.
Right.
You know, I just don't understand about that piece of it when you think that all police officers would. That, I know you didn't say all, so let me just see that.
Right.
Okay, so let's look at some of these comments here. Okay, first of all, did you see the body cam? The cop didn't even have the knee on the neck; it was on the shoulder blade. I'm assuming this is in reference to what you were just talking about here. So it's actually a series. Let me just see. The mainstream media is the enemy of the people. It's complete propaganda now. Jim Psaki even admitted that they are censoring so-called misinformation on Facebook, okay, which is honest and truth. They want everyone masked up as well, easy for the criminals to commit crime. Then they come out after, you know, our Second Amendment rights. Do you guys really believe the BS about Breonna Taylor and George Floyd? Did you watch the hearings? Okay, you know what? Let me just read the last one. Did you see the body cam? The cop didn't even have the knee on the neck. It was on his shoulder blade. Did you see the video that was clipped out? He was talking about not breathing way before he was on the ground. Okay, look, you know, this person is obviously entitled to their opinions. I'm not sure that I agree with all of that, quite frankly. But we're going to move on, you know. But we do appreciate when people do write things in, for sure. Jamal, were you going to say something? It seemed like you were going
to
say something.
Yeah, I wanted to say
something. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just because of the facts of the Breonna Taylor case, one, the guy that they was looking for was already in custody. Two, the guy who shot at the police, he was found not guilty and released also. There were no guns. There were no, I mean, other than the lawful owner of a weapon who shot at the police in self-defense, he got off. There was nothing illegal in that house whatsoever. Now, you can't tell me, there's no way you can convince me that for political reasons that he got off for shooting at the police. I'm not going to buy that. So if you look at all the facts in that case, in that specific incident, I don't know. It sounded like somebody didn't knock when they came in.
Okay. This person is saying, I'm asking questions. Can you answer the questions? Did you see the body cam? The person wants to know. I guess that's the question. You,
about the one the with body the cop cam. Being shot in the face? I mean,
no,
kicked
no, no,
in the
no,
face?
No, no, no. The knee on the neck.
The knee on the neck in the George Floyd case.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I saw all the videos on that.
Right. Right. So this person has a difference of opinion. So obviously, now he said, did you guys really believe the BS about Breonna Taylor and George Floyd? To me, did you watch the hearings? I watched part of those hearings. And again, I'm not sure that I 100% agree with you. The mainstream media is completely lying about all of this. That's why I suggest you watch the live hearings. you're going to get a whole different level of truth. Okay, well, we appreciate that. Okay, look, personal, we're going to keep moving. Let's talk about some of this other business on the this personal information cons that are going on right now, because we do want to cover that. We got three main areas that we have to cover. Now, first of all, let's talk about personal information. The IRS is putting out some information that you guys need to be aware of because it's going to impact your taxes. So they are talking about unscrupulous individuals are seeking to obtain personal information for the purpose of tax-related identity theft. Tax-related identity theft. So keep that in mind. Whether through a telephone call, text message, or email, the con artist tries to convince the recipient that they need to provide Social Security numbers, bank account, or credit card information, or passwords. The scam also may include sending links that, once clicked on, can download malicious software that collects or mines personal data. So they're telling you to watch it. Now, it says often criminals pose as someone the recipient knows or frequently interacts with, whether a social or family relationship or a business contact. They gather as much of this information, listen to this, guys, from social media. That's why we talk about the social media, where people put all of this information out on themselves. There's people out there collecting that information that can actually harm you. So a person's contact or friends are used to bait the recipient into thinking that they're dealing with somebody that they know. So you need to be cautious about this. Now, the IRS has warned taxpayers, businesses, and tax professionals to be on alert for a continuing surge of fake emails, text messages, websites, and social media attempts to steal personal information. These attacks tend to increase during tax season and remain a major cause of identity theft throughout the year. And we've talked about identity theft in the past as well. It is becoming very commonplace. But so for those of you that don't have those protections out there, you need to be thinking about that. These schemes can be tricky and cleverly disguised to look like from the IRS, by the way, or from other tax communities. Taxpayers are reminded to continually watch out for emails and other scams posing as the IRS, like those promising a big refund, missing stimulus checks because people were calling to find out where their check was because they hadn't gotten it, or even issuing a threat. So people should not open attachments or click on links in those emails or text messages. The IRS doesn't contact people that way, guys. They send letters to you, all right? I'm sorry, Jamal.
By the way, man, there was a great prank that somebody pulled on one of these scammers. Man, it was hilarious, man. So one of those phone calls came in, and they set it up. And they said, oh, you need my Social Security number? And they said, it's 1, 2, 3, and go. You are live on the news with the scam, doing a scam. It was hilarious, and the person hung up so fast, man.
Oh yeah,
it was a great prank.
Person
I
wrote
gotta
in,
get that to you.
Person wrote in also and said that we had people. I'm sorry, hold on, let me see here because there's a few things here. Oh yeah, we had massive amounts of EDD fraud in LA.
Yes.
Do you know what you need for that? You need a name, address, and Social Security number. And you know, we went through this because our clients, when we were doing the EDD claims for clients, we were actually getting those in there where we knew. As an example, owners of the company who had not filed for unemployment, here comes a claim for the owner of ABC Company, I'll call it, when in fact we know that that person did not file unemployment claims. You're right. There's millions and millions of dollars that were lost. Go ahead, Jamal.
Actually, it was in the billions. And that's just California. Also, we was getting those in Arizona and also in Texas also.
Right, yeah. Right. This other person wrote in and said, let's not forget about the IRS and their corruption. Remember Lois Lerner targeting conservatives. There was an issue about that as well. There's no doubt about it. But this is the focus for right now on the fact that the IRS is at least putting things out there for people to be careful of. You know, I know that that Joe Biden wanted to hire all of these different, you know, additional agents, but I understand that they didn't get the funding for it, so now they're not going to do it or something. I heard something briefly about it.
Good, man.
You know... Well, look, he was going to hire 88,000 people, okay? So, you know, I mean, you know, it's not that we're doing anything illegally on our taxes, but come on. I mean, you know, right. People can imagine whatever they want when they're going through the numbers, and you got to sit down and explain it. It's still very uncomfortable.
Listen, man, I got a friend who owns a barbershop. He's had these couches in his barbershop for years, and they came in and audited him for his couches that he bought 8 years ago saying, well, you technically make money off that couch, so we're gonna tax you for that. Every barber chair that he had in there, they taxed him for that also in his shop.
Those are the assets of the business, and who knows, was he actually claiming, what is it? Because every year you could claim a, I don't want to say a discount on those things, but a, I don't remember what it was in the section for on your taxes, Jamal. I can't think of it. Depreciation.
Okay,
so for the depreciation, so maybe he was still claiming depreciation eight years later because of the fact that those are things that he used for his business and he had to buy them. Right. So maybe, I don't know, okay, right, maybe he right. extended it for 8 years. I mean, we buy things for our company, we get to get the depreciation, but you can't use it as long as it's always just sitting there. It runs out after a while. They're also talking about voice-related phishing, they call it, from scams related to federal tax liens. So if you're getting calls or information talking about these tax liens, you got to be careful also. Another person wrote and said, let's see, Democrats love making the government bigger, so it's corrupt over this big government has always been a big problem. Well, that's true. I mean, one group versus another group. One group likes big government. One group, the Republicans, don't like it. Creating these different, these different legislative enactments sometimes does create bigger government. So some people like it, some don't. Look, the IRS may attempt to reach individuals by telephone, but will not insist on payment using iTunes cards, gift cards, prepaid debit cards, money orders, or wire transfers. And the IRS will never request personal financial information by email, text, or social media. Look, the reason why they're putting this out, guys, is because of the fact that this is what's going on. And people are so gullible to fall for this. You know, and I don't know who, you know, we have a regular tax preparers. Everybody can't afford a tax preparer and things of that nature. But, you know, to me, you should invest in that money and try to get a regular qualified tax preparer. Zella, you want to weigh in on any of this? I mean, it's pretty straightforward stuff. I know you're
there's lots of great information out there through all the different federal agencies in regard to some of the frauds that are happening. We were just in northern Minnesota at a cabin, and there were lots of commercials on in regard to the FBI talking about public service announcements with a bunch of the different frauds that are going on and things to look out for. So it seems like there's a big public relations campaign to try to get the word out in regards to people, you know, falling for some of these scams. So keep an eye out, especially for COVID-related stuff, too.
We got some other on the other our list. Okay, what happened? Because I didn't touch it. Zella, are you still there? I don't know what happened. Okay, looks like he's coming back in, so hold on a second. Zella, are you back with us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So at any rate, we got another one. Crime is up all over the country due to prevailing attitude of pro-criminal and anti-police. Police are concerned about support for their efforts to fight crime, proactive as well as reactionary. Then this is to Jamal. I saw Jamal's recent incident on news video. He's right in that the incident, a local agency, that in this day and age, there can be no acquiescence or even handling internal only. Regarding Taylor killing situation is true, but it was also alleged both had been involved in drugs previously, which is true. Lie down with dogs, get up with fleas, is what this person is saying. So it's what they were saying, Jamal, was that this person had a history. The reason why they went there in the first place, Jamal, was because of, you know, prior drug activity.
I know about the whole investigation. I know about the following. I know about all of that stuff. I do know about that.
Right, okay.
But if that guy had a past drug history, you can't tell me he was a convicted felon with a legal firearm. So what kind of history are we talking about here?
Jamal, the guy did have a. They were there actually looking for the guy. Okay, they weren't there looking for Miss Taylor. You know that, I know.
Right. I know that. But I'm saying her boyfriend that was there, he had a legal firearm. That's why he was able to get off when he shot at the police.
Okay, he had a legal firearm.
So the guy that was there, I don't know what kind of drug history he had.
Wait. You can have a legal firearm for 3 years and then get into drugs, Jamal. So one doesn't have anything to do with the other. You could have a legal firearm, okay, and then after that, maybe you got involved in some things you shouldn't have gotten involved in. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay.
Fair enough.
You know, from that standpoint. Okay, social media scams. Zayla, I know that you're a big social media person. I'm not as much. But let me just ask you, being a social media person, how do you, you know, I know you deal with this stuff. How do you guys protect yourselves from all of this potential scams and things of that nature, since you're a social media person?
Well, I mean, I don't accept friend requests from people that I don't know. Even on some of the ads out there, it doesn't look like it's reputable. It seems like it's not from a mainstream source. Or vendor, you know, they could just be trying to get your information. And so I just don't participate in any of that type of activity. Just try to be aware, just like with phishing emails that come in and things of that nature.
You know, we get certain things, and Brenda is very much on top of don't click on that, because I'll ask her sometimes, hey, I just got this thing. This looks weird to me. Brenda in a heartbeat will say, don't click on it. You know, because I'll go through sometimes, you know, and do some of that, you know, but it's never been anything that hurt me, but I am trying to be more conscientious about it.
Let me take the opportunity, man, to apologize to the friends and family members that I accidentally sent one of those emails to, thought I won something, and you send it to and you send it to 10 other people.
Oh, please.
And somebody alerted me right away. Somebody alerted me right away, man, and I unsent it, and I got a couple, hey, what is that? You unsent me, man? Like, a couple people was kind of upset. I said, hey, man, don't worry about it. I apologize. I'm glad I got it on time to unopen it. And I got scammed for $40 like last Christmas, too.
This person wrote in and said, you can tell when something is a scam. It's totally scripted. So sometimes when they go into these, you know, you could tell when it's a script mode. I mean, that's a good point also.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, use some common sense with it. So I think is what this person is saying by that. At any rate, look. The scams are out there, people. We've talked about scams on the show before. There's also pandemic-related scams, so I want to move into that area as well. So we kind of looked that up. And some of this, I don't know, some of it may flop over. But one of the things they're saying is any text messages, random incoming phone calls or emails inquiring about bank account information or requesting recipients to click a link or verified data should be considered suspicious and deleted without opening. Now, they're also bringing up something that, you know, I don't think we've talked about this before, mailbox theft. Who thinks about that? I mean, when you get your mail in your mailbox, you know, for people with their homes and everything, but it's what they're talking about is that there's actually people that will steal stuff out of the mailbox. Now, we've seen where people have done things with packages at the front doors and things of that nature. And I think maybe that's why Amazon and some of these other delivery services got into taking a picture of it to show, hey, it's been delivered. You know, somebody comes home and says, where's my package?
As a matter of fact, when I was leaving your house earlier, there was an Amazon package leaned up against somebody's mailbox, just out in the open, away from the house. But
right. I know what you're talking about, down at the end of the road, right? Yeah, you know, that particular box, Jamal, believe it or not, it's weird. Their house is over the wash. That's why. And the post office will not let them move that mailbox from there to in front of their house. That's been an issue ever since we've lived there.
Wow.
Okay, so we're on this. There's a wash on the other side of that. You know, that gully, like, you know, for, you know, rain and things of that nature. So it's right there. But they will not. So that guy has to walk from his house, come around, walk down the main road there, and then come around onto our road to be able to collect his mail.
And his Amazon package just sits there.
And his Amazon package just sits there.
Wow.
You know, I mean, he's not worried about any of us, but the bottom line is, you know, this person is saying get a Ring. Yeah, that Ring service is pretty good, you know, as well. I would suggest getting Ring because it'll alert you, let you know somebody's at your door, somebody's been there, whatever the case may be. So I think that is good. But they say, so to get around that, be alert to mailbox theft, frequently check mail, and report suspected mail losses to postal inspectors. Don't fall for the stimulus check scams. The IRS won't initiate contact by phone. Okay, we've already said that. This is another one consistent with that. As this person that was talking brought up unemployment, it's true. Unemployment compensation using stolen personal information of individuals who had not filed claims. But here's the kicker on this one. You may end up getting, people, in the mail, you may end up getting a Form 1099-G of reporting unemployment compensation that you actually did not receive, because you got to report that income on your taxes. So look at the email address. If it's at the att.novcom, it's not a real email address, as an example. So remember, they're coming from many, oh, that's about many, many countries. This goes back to the border issue. They're coming from many, many different countries. Some of the Africans were found to have Ebola when they would close the southern border immediately. If somebody had Ebola, obviously they would do that. But at any rate, so this business about the unemployment claim. So guys, remember, if you get a form from the EDD, form 1099-G, that they're going to say that you got your unemployment. So watch out for that form. And if you got it, make sure that you send a letter back to make sure that, in fact, that you did not get it. And the EDD, you know, won't press the issue because they know there was a whole lot of fraud with that. We're going to move on because it's 3:40. Look, Biden pushes the vaccine mandates and incentives, okay? Now, Biden has urged state and local governments to incentivize the vaccine with $100 stipends to those who want to receive the inoculations voluntarily. Look, I think it's very, very difficult for people, and he mandated, and let's just be clear, he did not mandate all employers, because at first they were coming out and saying all employers, you know, that he was saying that they were going to mandate employers to make sure their employees got the vaccine. That's not what they did. He did the federal employees, which, in my opinion, he's got a right to do that, and also anybody doing business with the, you know, with the federal government. So, like, you know, subcontractors, contractors, and things of that nature. But for some people, they just don't want to put this, you know, in their bodies. And I don't know how you can force even, you know, the employees. And I said if the employees don't want to do it, then they're going to have to be tested once or twice a week. To put them through that. I don't know, guys. Let's weigh in on this. Zayla, what's your opinion? I mean, I know we've kind of touched on this before slightly, but it is now it looks like them trying to move in a direction with this business about trying to get them to incentivize, you know, and basically bribe their employees, you know, to get this to get the vaccine.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've had your brother on to talk about the variants and the benefit of having vaccines as opposed to not having vaccines. My belief is that, you know, the employers have the right to make these determinations. And, you know, as many in the political life say, that you don't have a right to a job or any particular job with any particular entity. If you don't like the terms or conditions of employment, you can secure your work elsewhere. And, I mean, that's just kind of how I see it.
I have clients that are... And they're in the nursing business, so they have to go to people's homes to go in and check on patients and things of that nature. And so I've gotten those calls where they say, okay, because the nurses were mandating that they've got to get the vaccine, they're going into these people's homes. And some of the people that are there, like the caregivers are there saying, hey, are your people going to be vaccinated before they come in? You know, because they're concerned about somebody bringing something into the home as well. Look, those to me are legitimate concerns, you know, I got to say. You know, to me, I think nurses are in a different situation when you're dealing, because some of them, they have to take like tuberculosis shots, or, you know, they got to do all of those kind of things, you know, as well. Mm-hmm. So to me, under those circumstances, an employer can mandate the fact that this is what happens. Now, in California, they can mandate vaccinations. You know, Jamal, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with Zayler. Employers have the right to do what they want to do in this particular case, and you know, if you don't like it, you got to go find another job. It's no different than if you don't like certain policies or any other job that you like. You have a right to go not work there and go find another job, and that's what you should do. I mean, there's no way of getting around it.
You know, a person wrote in and said this whole C-19 is just another scam to take our rights away. People better wake up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a 99% recovery rate for most people, which is true, and that's not a pandemic. I don't agree with the fact that it's not a pandemic. It's still a pandemic. It's one that has to be dealt with. I don't believe it's a scam. I mean, you know, we've known people that have gotten it, you know, without a doubt. It's not a scam. For sure. I mean, this is something that happens. My brother's been on the air. He's a doctor. And, you know, he's been on, what is it, twice? I think he's been on the air twice.
I think more than that.
Or maybe even more than that, talking about this. So I don't think it's a scam. Yeah, so I don't think it's a scam for sure.
I don't think the virus itself is a scam. I think there's certain things with this virus that are being used to scam people.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would agree with that.
Yeah, you know? I mean, yeah. So I'll leave it at that.
I think is what we're talking about here. Because I got a call the other day from a friend that had a friend that had a friend that had an issue because their employer was making them insisting that they get the vaccine. And this person has a health condition, a disability. And he was saying that he's been advised, even by his doctor, not to get the shots, and because it could compromise his system.
Right.
And so, you know, he was very concerned. So they reached out through this party to me to ask whether or not that the employer can force him. Well, under the EEOC guidelines, guys, just remember, there's two exceptions to the rule. One is if you've got a disability consistent under the Americans with Disabilities Act. And then the other one is based on religion. So if you have those two, we got another person that wrote in and said, but a vaccinated person can still catch and spread COVID. So what's the point? Well, those are all part of the arguments without a doubt. Because we've known about, they call them breakthroughs, I guess. So somebody's got a vaccination and they still got COVID. So I don't know. Go ahead, Jamal.
That's the part where the scam part comes in. They're going to rename it the Breakthrough COVID, man? Nah, maybe the first vaccine didn't work, period. That's what it sounds like to me, man. But that's just my thought on it.
Well, Jamal,
man.
Do you have a medical background to be able to make that statement?
Nah, but I got common sense, man. I see what's going on. People who took the vaccine is catching it and spreading it.
Let's move on to Governor
WebMD. WebMD.
Well, what did you say, Sal?
What'd you say?
WebMD.
WebMD.
I got my doctorate on WebMD.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think, WebMD?
WebMD, yeah. That's a good website to go to.
Question,
man.
Is the employer going to pay for their medical expenses if they have an adverse effect or pay the families if the loved one dies? You know, of course I'm not going to do that, you know, because first of all, you'd have to try to find out where they got it, how they contracted it. And those always are going to be arguments along those lines. Okay, let's move on to Governor Newsom. Real and Big Pharma is an issue, so I see that that's popping up.
You mean
also.
Governor Nuisance?
Yeah, Governor Nuisance. Look, you know, the person made a, as I told you at the beginning, had a question about this mailbox theft. Hold on a second, I don't want to miss this one. Mailbox theft, a.k.a. boxing, been around as a trend for 10 or more years. Prevalence of external curb mailboxes and community mailboxes due to more limited letter carriers services. Let's talk about Newsom real quick. Look, guys, here's the deal. There are a number of people that are running for this job. Candidates running to replace Governor Newsom in the recall election include John Cox, former San Diego mayor, or Kevin Falconer, retired Olympian reality TV star Caitlyn Jenner, Larry Elder. Now, Assemblyman Kevin Kiley is running, and then Billboard model Angeline is running also. Look, there's 46 people running for this job. You know, I think that, you know, I know Larry Elder right now is out there in the front, you know, percentage-wise, although there's, you know, 40% of people that are, that are undecided. But to answer the question, what did Governor Newsom do or not do? Part of the problem is for this person that moved out of California is that he really put very restrictive guidelines in place that really hurt the restaurant industry. I mean, bad. And they were contradictory because what was happening was that he would say things like, okay, you can have outside service so you can move outside. Then he would turn around and contradict that and say, no, now you can't even do that after these people made all of these different arrangements. So we kept getting this back and forth. Contradictory note from him. And then on top of that, he's seen pictures were on the internet where he's in a restaurant, okay, up in the Bay Area with some of his lobbyist friends eating with no mask on. And right in the middle of all of this, it was a whole party. People, that didn't sit right. Just the other day, he's talking about once again about the mandated mask, and yet his children are out of camp. You know, with no mask on, he had to go to that camp and get them and bring them back home. So look, he's not very popular. He hasn't dealt with the homeless situation properly because it's out of control. And then a few weeks ago, he's on the news talking about, hey, tell all the homeless people that if they want to, they can come to California. What sense does that make? We've already got a homeless situation problem here that's really bad. So there's just a number of things. It's more than just the heavy restrictions from that standpoint. He contradicts himself with all of this, and people are just not happy with him. And that's why we have a recall system in California. I mean, I don't know where it's going to go. It's going to be September 14th. They're already mailing out the ballots, you know, as well to people that are living, you know, living abroad. So, you know, from that perspective.
You know, the thing, let me say this. That the homeless population, it's getting bad out here. I know particularly in Southern California. It's the worst I've ever seen down here. But, you know, with me living in California and Governor Newsom being the problem that he is, what's kind of disgusting to me is how they're campaigning this and saying the Trump Republicans want Gavin Newsom out. I don't think that's fair. First of all, this is the state of California. It's a blue state. It's not that many Republicans out here. So therefore, it's not the Trump Republicans. But to use that fear-mongering tactic, it's completely disgusting. And this is one of the problems that I have with both parties on doing things like this. This is why I moved to being an independent, you know, because I feel like both parties. But in this particular case,
okay,
that was out of line.
I'm watching the time. We're actually over by 1 minute. But we had this other comment very quickly. Really, where's your proof about this? Or just rejuvenating about what you read on social media, the toilet of the Internet. And here's another one. Says, a perfectly healthy girl gets the jab and dies within a week. That's my proof. She first got a blood clot on her heel, and then it spread all over her feet. I don't know. At any rate, listen, we got to go. You know, it's always interesting how our time runs out so fast with all of this. Look, thank you very much, you guys, for tuning in as usual. We really do appreciate it. Jamal Zahla, say goodbye to the people.
Appreciate you guys. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Catch you next week.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-host